Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I am your host today, Mary Margaret West, alongside John Paul Basham.
Yo.
And we are without Ben Trueblood today.
We are. We're missing him.
We're missing him.
But and he'll be back.
He'll be back. Don't worry. Like, his voice will be back as the intro pretty soon. So he's just not here today. And so John Paul and I have taken up the charge to podcast with you. If you have not checked it out yet, the podcast is now available on Spotify.
Spotify!
Woo! We love Spotify. And so if that's where you choose to listen to stuff, you can now find the Lifeway Student Ministry podcast there, as well as still on iTunes. And so we also wanted to highlight there were a couple of new reviews that came in over the last couple weeks. John Paul, would you mind sharing a couple of those with our listeners?
I would not mind. I'll have a little bit of trouble with this first one because I don't know how to say it. It would be
that
my best.
That's pretty good.
Anyway, we're thankful for your five star review. He says, keeping up with this podcast ever since I heard about it at Conclave. Shout out to Conclave.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that was Texas Conclave or Southeast Conclave.
Probably Southeast, since we were just there in like January or February.
That's true.
Not too long ago.
He says, this podcast is very formative and entertaining! !
Love it.
We have another five star review for Mr. Rome. He says, thank you for all the time you put into this. It's a great resource and an awesome way to learn new things. Appreciate you all.
Love it.
And we appreciate you, Mr. Rome.
We sure do.
And to
yes, whatever your name is, we appreciate you. And so if you guys will take just a minute and leave us a rating and review on iTunes, that not only just helps the podcast, but it also helps other people be able to find it. And so we'd love any feedback from you. We'll give you a shout out right here if it's a good one. I mean, if it's a bad one, we're probably not going to repeat it. Let's just be honest. But if it's a good review, we will definitely give you a shout out here on the podcast.
We like to click on the most helpful.
Yes.
And the recent.
Yeah.
But most helpful reviews.
But we love hearing from you guys. It really does make a difference. And so if there's something you want to hear about on the podcast, or if you got some feedback for us, let us know. But today we're going to be talking about organization and delegation in ministry. Ooh. I mean, just a fun topic today. but it's a really important one, honestly. Like, it's one that I think for a lot of you that may, like, you may hopefully not skip this episode, but go like, oh gosh, I don't want to think about that. Because it's really not the fun side of ministry. Like, the fun side of ministry is being with students and, you know, being out where they are and engaging with them. But we can't do that well if we're not organized and utilizing other people to create a team behind the scenes. And so we're going to kind of give you five helpful tips today that should help you as you are trying to develop these skills and grow in these ways that we hope will be helpful to you in your ministry as it grows. So thing one are apps. I mean, who doesn't love an app?
I love an app.
I do too. I have a lot of them on my phone. A lot of them that I don't know, that I don't use, but yeah. I have a lot of apps. But like, what are some organizational apps that are helpful, John Paul?
So we've got a list. We have a list of these apps. And so some of the first ones are Todoist and ClearList. ClearList is one that I've used a bunch. Todoist is one that I have not used, but came up as one of the highest rated to-do list apps for 2019.
Yeah.
Do you use any to-do list apps?
The only one I use is the one through Google. Like, and so that's probably the one, like, we'll talk about that at some point too, but like, there's one in Google that I use. I do have some friends who use Todoist, and there are a couple podcasts that I listen to who have talked about similar topics and said that that's what they use, that they really like it a ton. And I think the key is just to find what works for you.
So the to-do list thing, that was really introduced to me through Student Leadership University when we took our first round of kids to 101.
Yep.
And they used to give you the paper.
The Franklin planners.
Yep. Yeah. Isn't it two names?
Franklin Covey planner.
Yes.
Yep.
Those things and learning how to use that.
Yeah.
Changed my life.
Same. I used to tote mine around everywhere.
Yeah. So they would go through and talk about how to prioritize all your tasks by A, B, and C. And you have your tasks that have to be done now. And their whole thing at SLU is swallow the big frog first.
Yeah.
Just talking about getting the major task, that big hurdle out of the way right out of the gate, and then moving on to some of the smaller ones. And so you have those big frogs in your A list, the things that are pressing have to be done now, and then things that can be pushed either in importance or time frame fall into B and C, and then you just keep running that list. And I had never done that before. Mm-hmm. I just, people would come to me all the time like, hey, did you get that thing done? And I always, it was always like the head and hands.
No.
I forgot.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, and do you remember the second half of that swallow the big frog first phrase?
No.
It's so you swallow the big frog first so that if it kills you, you don't have to do the rest. Like that's the idea, is that like you just do those things that have to get done first. And if it kills you, then you got less things to do, you know?
From
like a big perspective. That's the whole phrase.
All.
Yeah. But so that if it kills you, then it'll just take you out. And it's easy to put off the big, hard things that we, like right now, there's a project that I actually had due on Monday that now I asked, I said, can I please turn it on Friday? Because I've just been sort of avoiding it because I know it's going to take a bunch of time and it's going to take a bunch of mental energy. And so like now I'm at the crunch time and I have to do it. But, you know, but sometimes when I do like get those things done first, it makes a huge difference. But yeah, that whole time management thing, you know, and so many people will use the excuses. I'm just not good at that. Like, it's just something you have to get better at.
Yeah. If you're going to have any level of responsibility, people are expecting you to get things done, to lead out, to be productive and moving things forward.
Yep.
You're going to have to keep a list of all of the things that need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And more so for me, the more responsibility I've been given, the more there is to do. And the more there is to do, the more organization it necessitates. And
for
so
sure.
Having that, whether it is a system of sticky notes that you're putting all over your desk, or it's an app, or it's the Franklin Covey planner, you know, it's on paper with a pencil, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, a whiteboard in your office, you know, notes on a piece of paper in a journal. Just figure out what works for you and that you'll actually keep up with and do something with.
So the next app, or the next couple of apps, are Slack and Trello. Do you use anything like that?
I don't. A lot of people, though, on our team use Slack because they can communicate with each other pretty seamlessly through their share files, all that kind of good stuff. But I've never used either one.
So this would also be like Asana and Basecamp.
Mm-hmm. I do use Basecamp.
Are more of those. And so these are going to be project management apps. This is really great when you've got a project that a lot of voices are speaking into. You need to pull all the pieces together and have one place where everybody's communicating.
Yeah.
So you're pulling off Camp, you're pulling off DNow, you're whatever. Maybe you use this for every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night just to keep all the pieces in place. A lot of you use, probably, it's pretty popular in the church world, Planning Center.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is similar, but just having one place where you can send out a task. In most of these, you can delegate tasks to the people on your teams. And in some of them, you can also add due dates.
Mm.
And so if you are leading out and doing some of these big events, or even just pulling off a Wednesday night where you want to have the worship band and whoever is preaching and whatever adult volunteers are going to be there and whatever other moving pieces you have, as you have people leading these different elements, just to put them on one channel of communication other than an email string or a text chain where they can upload files, they can ask questions, you can see their progress, you can see if people are hitting deadlines. It can be super helpful.
Oh, yeah. We used Basecamp in student ministry at a couple churches I was at, and it just was really helpful to keep everybody on the same page. Now, you've got to, like, train everybody, equip them with the tools to be able to do it, and just say, hey, this is where we're going to work, you know, sometimes, because some people are resistant to, like, using a new system or whatever. But once we all got on board, it made a huge difference just in not only, you know, communication, but also collaboration, deadlines, all of that kind of stuff. I loved it.
Yeah. In Lifeway Publishing, we use Asana, and we use that with Dropbox.
Mm.
So we'll use Asana to delegate tasks and to kind of create the list of tasks that we know need to be done, assign them to people, assign due dates, and then all of our files we put into Dropbox. And so we'll put Dropbox links into Asana with everything. But then everyone's able to get on there and make comments, check off tasks. Everybody knows when everything's done. And as far as where to go get the files, because a lot of our files are giant, everybody knows you can go to the Dropbox file to go get whatever files that you need. And so that's kind of, that's what we do. In-house, there's probably 1,000 different things. I know media uses Basecamp.
Mm-hmm.
We use Asana. Other teams use a bunch of other stuff.
Programs called things like Sifter. Like, there's all kinds of different
ways
to delegate tasks, to assign it to people.
Sifter.
It's a lot of things. So apps can be a super helpful. Another one that we use here at the office all the time is like the Google Suite, the G Suite of all kinds of tools that Google offers to you. A lot of those are free. Most of them are free. Some of them have like more, you know, if you have like a business account.
Well, if you're already paying for.
Yes.
If your church is already paying for the G Suite.
Correct.
Which doesn't cost that much money.
Yeah.
My wife and I pay for G Suite for my wife's company.
Yeah.
And it's like $10 a user.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the whole suite of stuff. So if your church isn't currently on a standard email thing and you'd like to suggest something, like if everybody's got their own, I have, you know, mine at AOL.com and they have theirs at Hotmail.
Yeah.
You can all get on to G Suite and then be able to use Google Docs and Google Sheets and Google Forms and
Google Drive and task lists and idea lists, and there's just sort of like a solution for most things in there that I love the collaborative factor that comes into play with all these Google Docs and Sheets where everybody can be seeing the same things at the same time. You're living in a living, breathing, workable document that people can all be, you know, using in the same meeting. You can be looking at the same stuff rather than emailing Excel spreadsheets or Word docs back and forth. And so I use their task list because you can also move emails into your task list. You can assign dates on the calendar. And honestly, like I have really moved from I've always been a paper to-do list person. And in the last few months, I really have quit like carrying my notebook around with me and have just kept everything digital. And I love it because it's on my phone. It's on my desktop. I can access it anywhere. And so like, especially when I'm traveling and stuff for work, I'm not having to tote that notebook with me anymore because everything is digital and online, and so it's made it simpler that way for sure.
Do you use things like Evernote to take notes in?
No. I tried to get on the Evernote train and could not figure it out. Like some people like live and breathe in Evernote and like I just couldn't quite figure it out. And that's just the honest answer.
So I think I got frustrated because I felt like it was a big gimmick thing that had the Evernote notebooks that came out.
Uh-huh.
That were supposed to like work seamlessly with Evernote.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, seriously, this is a paper journal.
Right. With dots and like that you're supposed to be able to scan in. And like my dad has like some Evernote scanner and he loves it. But like, I just don't get it. Like I'd rather use a Google Doc and just keep notes in there or like my little notes app on my phone or whatever. So, and I do like I use the Google has a task app. And so I use that, but it goes in conjunction with my calendar, my email and all those things fit seamlessly together within Google. So I like it. If Google ever goes down, we're in big trouble. Let's just be honest.
The whole world.
The whole world is going down with Google. But yeah, a ton of resources out there and apps. So number two is calendar your time. I think it's really easy for a lot of us to not do this. Like, and it sounds almost more, what's the word? Like it sounds more complicated, I think, than it is, and more daunting, I think, sometimes than it is. But like, I know too, you know, John Paul, like, don't you kind of block time on your calendar to work on bigger projects or just to have some time where nobody else can take it, correct?
Yes.
And I think even that, like that step of like looking in a calendar or having something where everybody can see what's going on with you during the week or that you can prioritize, hey, here's where I'm going to do sermon prep or here's where I'm going to go to a school lunch and block off 2 hours or whatever that is. But looking ahead and just saying, what do I have going on? How can I plan ahead for it and not always be behind, in the process of it all? But how has calendaring your time been helpful to you?
Man, that's something that another thing that I really learned to do well in coming to Lifeway, because the number of meetings that we have around here.
Oh, yeah.
There's just so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the largest Christian resource company in the world.
Yep.
And we provide every single thing, it seems like, that a church could need to do church.
Yeah.
And so everybody's working together to pull off all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many people that need to meet and need time and can you do this? Can you do this? And do you know who I should contact about this? And can you just, you're good at this thing. Can you help us brainstorm on this totally different thing? So there's just 1,000 meetings. And early on, I asked a guy named Bill Craig, who's been at Lifeway for a while. And he's like the granddaddy of all things publishing mm-hmm. here at Lifeway. And he mentioned that every single thing he does, he dedicates time to in his calendar. So when he leaves a meeting, if he has agreed in that meeting to do a thing, he gets in his calendar and he puts it in there. He'll assign it whatever he thinks it'll take, 30 minutes or an hour.
Yeah.
And he blocks out his time that way. Another thing that we do a whole lot is we block out protected time. And so a lot of times for me, that's email time and that's the small checklist items
yeah.
time. And so that's 2 or 3 hours sometimes that I know I'm going to need to just sit down and have focus time to get through email. Around here, like we were at YPS, Youth Pastor Summit
yep.
in Orlando just the other day. Around here, if you're not on your email for a couple of days, I'll have up to 200 unread emails after like 2 days.
Yeah.
And so if there's anything like that, if we're doing a writer's conference, if we're doing advisory yeah. boards.
If you're away from your email.
Yeah, then yeah. you'll turn around and have 100 things that you have to work on. And
yeah.
so you need 2 or 3 hours of time to be able to just get through those things so people aren't waiting on you.
Yeah.
So that's been hugely beneficial for me. I think the other big thing about that is we've talked about on here before how a common complaint of student pastors is that we never know where they are. We never know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so somebody will call in and say, hey, can I talk to so-and-so? And the church secretary or the admin
mm-hmm.
or just somebody else on the staff team will say, well, they're not in right now.
Yeah.
Not really sure when
where they
are.
Be back. Yeah.
You know? So just to be able to give somebody access to your calendar
mm-hmm.
So that they know, you know, if you've got your calendar current and updated, then people know, oh, he's at a school lunch or, you know, she's meeting with this group of girls right now.
Yep.
They are scheduled to be back at X time.
Mm-hmm.
It's helpful for that information to be out there. It's good accountability for you to make your calendar visible. Not that you have to give everybody every detail.
Yeah.
There are 3 people that can see every detail of my calendar,
mm-hmm.
and everybody else can see all of the blocked
yeah.
times.
Same thing for me. Like there is a handful of people that can see everything and see exactly where I am. And then other people can see just that I'm either out of the office or on vacation or that my time is blocked because I'm in a meeting or out to lunch or something. But just, you know, I think for a lot of people, that misconception that sometimes is true, but oftentimes it's not, that the student pastor just isn't around or we don't know where he is. You know, just to be open that way, I think is huge. And even, you know, one of the things that I do that has just been helpful for my brain, and even we work remotely, our team does a couple days a week. And so sometimes those days look wide open on my calendar, but yesterday was a day I ended up working remotely and I was busy all day long, but like
yeah.
there was nothing on my, there was like one thing on my calendar. And sometimes if I get a phone call and talk to a girls minister for 30 or 45 minutes, I'll go back and put it on my calendar, A, so that like I've got a record of, hey, this is when I talked to her, but B, just for the accountability of going, here are some things that I did today, like that I checked off on my list. And so, and not that, and I don't have anybody thankfully breathing down my neck asking me, what are you doing? Like, where, how are you spending your time? But it just helps me to know to put some structure to where I spent my time that week and
yeah.
kind of what I was doing. So some of it for me, even in calendaring, is retroactive.
I think it's super helpful to know how long a thing took too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you block out an hour and you don't get it done and you have to block out more time, or
mm-hmm.
you're dragging that little box down further
yep.
to know, well, I still need 30 more minutes. I don't want somebody to schedule a meeting
on top of that.
'Cause that happens all the time. I'll leave something, you know, open, and then all of a sudden I've got 2 meetings on my calendar. I'm like, what just
happened? Yeah. And one thing for me is that I blog pretty much weekly for the Lifeway Girls blog, and I know that most of the time it takes me 45 minutes to an hour to write a blog post.
Yeah.
And so like I know that about myself now, and like sometimes I just have to try to put it on my calendar, even, and usually I'll write those when I'm working from home or a coffee shop or wherever, but I still try to put it on my calendar and just know that like I need an hour to do that. that. And just some other things, just knowing yourself, knowing your workflow, all of that kind of stuff helps. And the older you get, the longer you've been in ministry and work, the more those things become clear. But the sooner that you can set up those habits, the better off you'll be in the long run.
Yeah.
Number three, delegating your work to others.
That
can be kind of like a touchy word sometimes.
It can.
Because like, why? Like, I think it can be touchy because sometimes delegation sounds like you're being a slacker and you're not wanting to do the work. When delegation really is meant to just spread some of the things around and like to stay in your lane and do the things that only you can do really well, which means that some of those things have to go to other, some of the things that need to get done have to go to other people.
Yeah.
And some of you I know that are listening today, you are a bivocational student pastor. You are a student pastor who is, you know, working, who has two jobs at your church, and maybe you do worship ministry and student ministry or things like that. And you don't have a
music
ton of people.
And youth.
There you go. Music and youth. That's I love it. You know, but like you're serving in a couple different ways, and maybe you don't have a whole lot of people to delegate to. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that too. But what does it look like as we delegate work to other people, either on our team or just in our ministry?
You know, so when we were kind of brainstorming on this podcast, Nathan and I were standing at Nathan's cube, and I turned around and asked one of our administrative assistants, Miss Patty Baker, shout out.
Woo!
What she thought student pastors needed to hear on this podcast.
Mm.
And so this is the first thing that she said. She said organization. And then right behind that, she said delegating work to other people. And so she told a story about a student pastor that served at her church at one time that was having some struggles just getting everything done. And she encouraged them, you know, you really need to delegate the work. You've got some people, and they, in this case, did have some people that were wanting to serve this way, wanting to do some of these things. And she said, I think you should think about this through the filter of allowing someone the blessing of serving in a way that they're gifted to serve.
Yeah.
When you just hold all of those responsibilities to yourself, and you're not even able to do them all the way that you'd like to see them done.
Yeah.
You're not only putting a bottleneck on your own productivity and the own fruit of or the fruit of your own ministry, but you're also robbing other people of the joy of being able to serve in that way. And so that was one of the biggest things that she said. And of course, that comes from Patty, who her gifting is the gift of helps. She loves to help. She loves to be involved that way. She loves to do. And so she's one of those people like, let me do some of these things.
Yeah.
Let me administrate. Let me organize. Let me. And so she's one of those in her church that she's like, please just give me a place to do some of this stuff.
And I think that makes a huge difference. And seeing it not necessarily is just dumping some things on other people, but on using their gift set really well and how they're wired. And just to know that, like, there are some things that you could very easily let go of that maybe you've got a really tight grip on right now because you want to know how everything's going to play out. And, you know, like, and I'm that type that can be enough of a control freak that I'm like, I want to see all the cards because I know how it needs to all shake out in the end. You know, I'm thankful for some student pastors who taught me, weren't just delegating to me, but taught me how to delegate that I've worked alongside, but that just said, hey, like, I want you to give some of this away and like, but loosen your grip on some of these pieces and let them, as long as you get the same end result, don't worry about all the ways that they went to get there and that they're going to put a new twist on it. They may bring something new to the table that I hadn't even thought about, but we've got to release some ministry to happen among some of our church members, our other team members, if you have them. So that you can use their gifting so that they can learn. And I think too, like if you've ever had an intern or if you have one right now, you know, it's not just grunt work. I mean, some of it is grunt work, but some of it is just training and equipping them that these are the pieces that have to happen behind the scenes to make something pull off. And so I'm going to give you a chunk of that and see how you do with it. And giving people safe spaces to fail too and to learn from that is all a byproduct of delegation. And one thing I wanted to bring up in this conversation is, you know, I talk with a ton of women in student ministry on a regular basis. And, you know, and I would say 90% of it is very positive. It's helpful. Like it's constructive, it's building up. But if I were to like tally up one of the greatest frustrations I think among some women in student ministry is that they feel like they get delegated a lot of administrative work just because, and a lot of them would say it's either because I'm a female or because I'm more administrative, or it's one or the other. You know, I would say, like, look at those members of your team as equal members on your team who have, like, to learn their gift set, because not all women are the most administrative person in a room every time. And so, like, learn the giftings of the you know, men and women on your team so that you know how to best utilize them and all of that. But, like, some of the women that I have served alongside just through girls ministry over the years have just said, I just get so frustrated because I feel like a lot of it gets dumped on me. You know, when there's not an administrative assistant, and that's not my role. I mean, my calling is to minister to the girls or to the high school students or whatever their title may be. And so I would say just guard against that, against just assuming that some people are better at administration than the others, or, you know, asking, like, hey, what would you like to do among, like, what has to be done? Like, what would be your choice? And give them some of the option, you know, with it. But don't just assume that that's the best use of their time necessarily either. So.
Yeah, and I think part of that, too, a lot of times is guys knowing that some of the girls on staff won't say no to doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that gets, I don't think, I know that gets taken advantage of
all the time.
Whole lot. Oh, we really need this thing done. You're great at this. Will you do it?
Uh-huh.
There's not really a question. It's an assumption. Like, oh, they never say no. They're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of it is, ladies, learn to say no.
Yeah.
When you need to say no.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger part of it is, as a ministry leader, you that's not the right way to delegate. That's not the right way to go about it. Sometimes it's not glamorous work. It needs to be done. And sometimes the best example is for you to do it.
Yeah.
Not to just dump it off onto somebody who's, you know, to somebody that's not their job to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, delegate that to someone like you mentioned earlier, who has that gifting and who's has the desire to do that things. That's great. You don't have that person, don't dump it on somebody who doesn't deserve to have that dumped on them.
Yeah.
Take it on yourself. It'll be a little bit more motivation to go find someone that's right to delegate
it to. Yes, that you really can let those things off of, and, you know, to pass those things along their direction. And so just keep in mind, like, and I think that, you know, and I will just say, you know, to affirm what you said, John Paul, to, you know, to the women who are listening, or to you guys who are leading women on your teams, or whether they're staff or volunteer, just that it is harder for women to say no to to tasks that are right in front of them, because they want to be helpful. They want to jump in. And so I would just encourage them to know their limits and to know, you know, kind of what's theirs and what's yours and all of that when it comes to things that have to get done within student ministry. And two, I think we'd all be wise to ask the question, what are the things that only I can do, and make sure that those things are in our pocket, but then also have another list of things that, like, hey, I can do this. Like, I'm capable, I'm willing, I'm able, I'll give another hour a week to this project that needs to get done. And so just as we evaluate our time.
Even in that too, I would encourage you, the things that only you can do, we have to make sure that we're not saying I'm the only one that can do that out of just straight up pride.
Right. Yeah.
Because I know I've been in that place before. Like, this is my lane. Nobody else can step in here. Mm-hmm. I've told the story about the Navy SEAL before on the podcast, haven't I, Nathan? That we started doing some trip planning on a mission trip, and had a Navy SEAL that was a part of our ministry that stepped in and said, hey, I would love to help you plan this trip. And I was super resistant to it. I didn't want him to be a part of the trip planning at all. And so I just said, well, you know, yeah, I'd love to let you lead a little bit more. You know, I kind of gave him I'm kind of okay with you doing this. So we set up a lunch meeting, and he came to this lunch meeting with a binder. With tabs, everything categorized. He had the seasonal weather for this part of Kentucky. I mean, we're several months away. I don't remember, six to 8 months away from the trip. He's like, this is typically what the weather conditions look like in this area. He's a Navy SEAL, and so he was, like, super security conscious.
Yeah.
So he had contacted the local PD and found out the hot spots for crime in the area. He had a whole tab of the sex offenders with names, and it, like, had printed out all the sex offenders. But he also had a list of all the restaurants, all the potential stops that we could stop at on the way there and on the way back, yeah. knowing that we were going to have 50 or 60 kids going to Kentucky. We're going to need a place that's got 6 or 7 fast food places where we can spread out uh-huh. and take off, you know. And so he's like, this is a great stop, but we've got restaurants on both sides of a major road, so I would recommend this one. But this is 30 minutes further down the road, so we may need to add a bathroom stop between wow. start and this lunch break. And it was in that moment that I was like, okay, I'm not the best person to
yeah,
plan this.
And you need he's to let
clearly
go and let the seal have it.
yeah. So he did. He was really involved in trip planning from that point forward, and yeah. I learned a tremendous amount from him. But yeah. I had to swallow a lot of pride mm-hmm. to even let him in. And so
yeah.
So I would encourage you to make that assessment of yourself.
Oh, for sure. And some of that like comes from the idea of like right now, one of the greatest needs in my church is for people to serve in preschool ministry. And so that's where I'm serving on Sunday mornings right now. And our preschool minister is one of my really good friends, and she and I were roommates. And so sometimes like when there's a teacher who's running late, because we all know that thing that happens, it's like there's a small group or whatever, that there's a teacher running late and somebody's got to jump in there. Her inclination, because she's super service minded, is for her to jump in there. I'm like, no, you let me jump in there, because you need to be in the hallway and be seen by parents and have those kind of conversations about things that I don't know about. And it's yeah. just knowing where you need to be the primary person and knowing where other people can step in and fill that role. And so you know, figure that out, but it equips and helps other people and blesses other people to let them serve in their area of expertise and to come alongside and be invested in ways that then impacts other parents and other students down the road. And so, I think if you will let some of those pieces go, you'll see your ministry grow as a result of it.
Yeah.
Number 4 is to create a weekly plan, which we've kind of hit a little bit of that on the calendaring, you know, idea. But like, but think ahead and like, what are some of those things, you know, John Paul, for you as a former student pastor, that were important for you to know ahead of time and put on your calendar?
I mean, I think the weekly plan comes down to, you know, we talked about calendaring tasks and using your calendar to make sure you know how long a thing normally takes and to make sure that you have your time protected, you're accountable, your calendar is visible. This creating a weekly plan, for me, boils down to more of, I know I have these couple of staff meetings. I know I have this Bible study I need to prepare for. I know I'm preaching on Wednesday. I know, you know, whatever it is, the mm-hmm. things that you always have to do. And we know in student ministry, every week, there's another Wednesday, there's another Sunday,
yeah.
Sunday. And so, you don't want to call it a grind, but it's every week, the next Wednesday,
there's
the next Sunday is rolling around, and
yep.
it's going to come back. And so, knowing that it's coming back, I was just talking to a student pastor from Virginia while we were at YPS, talking about sermon planning. How do you plan, or sermon prep, sorry. How do you plan out your sermon prep? And I told him, the biggest lesson that I learned is that sermon prep for the next Wednesday has to start the Thursday before.
Yeah.
So if you are going to successfully use your calendar to create this plan, mm-hmm. then you block out time for things that you know are coming every week to make sure you're ahead of schedule, or at the very least, going to be on time and not cramming to get your stuff done right before.
Yeah.
You've got to have it done.
Mm-hmm. And two, that your team or the other staff members, that they know that like this is when he does a sermon prep, and that unless there's something major that comes up, that they're aware of that and they'll help protect that time for you too.
Yeah.
And just schedule around that rather than the other way around. And so I think just know those things ahead of time and don't always make somebody have to remind you about like if you're printing notes for Wednesday night and they need it by Tuesday at noon, like don't always be the one who like at 11:30 on Tuesday, somebody's looking at you going, where are your notes? Like, where are your notes? You know, and you're going, ah, because if that happens every single week, like there's no, unless something crazy has happened, which in student ministry, crazy things happen. And
yep.
we all know that. But like in a regular weekly rhythm, you know, just be on time and be one who is faithful to do the things by the time that they need to do them, because it takes somebody else then having to adjust if you don't do it ahead of time.
Well, and this is a great place if you're leading a team, whether and all of you are leading a team of some sort, but whether you're leading a staff team or a volunteer mm-hmm. team, to be able to meet with them and say, okay, these are the things that are going to happen every week. We're all in this together. these are the pieces I know that I'm responsible for. When do I need to have my pieces done so that you can do your pieces?
Yeah.
Or when do you need to have your pieces done so that I can do mine? And just collaborating that way and knowing that you're all scheduling and calendaring your time together efficiently so that everybody can do everything that needs to happen to pull off every week is such a big deal. And it's a great point of connection between you and your team, whatever that team looks like, to know that we're doing this together. I know that I have worked with and around a lot of people that they're just doing their own thing. And it's like, when's that going to be done? I don't know. They'll get it done when they get it done. Sometimes you have to do that. If you can avoid those kind of things, it just doesn't feel very team player.
Mm-hmm. And two, just to set an example and to set the bar high with stuff like that, that, hey, you know, we're going to respond. We're going to be on top of these things. And I'm going to lead out that way, because I think the rest of your team will, if you're accountable to the things you say you're going to do, then your team will very naturally follow. Thing number five to wrap it up is to use checklists. And, you know, again, we got a little ahead of ourselves and talked a little bit about checklists earlier, but just give yourself a system of ways to put out there all the things that you need to do as you're prepping for camp, as you're prepping for a mission trip, an event, or even just for next month or your sermon prep or whatever it may be. Use some checklists and think out all the things that have to get done so you don't miss anything that, that may need to happen.
Yeah, and your checklist can live separately from your task list, in that your task lists are the things that you've got coming up that you know you need to knock out.
Mm-hmm.
You can create these checklists. Sometimes the best way to really create these checklists is post event.
Yeah.
If you've never used checklists before. So, you know, you have a process. There's a certain number of things that have to get done to pull off, let's say, a disciple now, a student ministry retreat.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to have host homes, if you're going to have meals out somewhere, if you're going to have to cater food from someplace, if you're bringing in a speaker and a band, you know, whatever it is, there's a lot of moving pieces. Where these checklists really become helpful is when you write down this checklist, you go through it, you pull off this event,
mm-hmm.
and then you go back retrospectively and say, okay, where did I need to adjust this checklist?
Yep.
You make that adjustment, and now you don't have to reinvent the wheel. I don't know how many times in student ministry we would come up on an event. Okay, we need to do this event again. What did we do for this? What did we do for that?
When did we need to have this stuff done by? Yeah.
And so if you've already got that, then you have a track to run on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we use at Lifeway a ton. We have in the publishing world, that's my lane that I live in. For our ongoing Bible studies, every quarter we have a checklist that makes sure we get done everything we need to get done with every team that needs to be involved, mm-hmm. every email, every, you know, information submission, every little piece of content, writing, contracts, payments to people, graphic design, everything.
All the things.
All of that is in a checklist. So every person that's working on a product is going through, was this done? Was this done? It's just like what a pilot does before they take off.
Yep.
They go through their checklist to make sure that they're going to stay alive through the flight. And so that checklist, it does that for you. So in the end, you can have created over the course of a year or so a checklist for every event you know is going to be coming up. And when it rolls around, all you have to do is check off the boxes.
Yeah.
And it just makes your world a little easier. It keeps your mind a lot less cluttered. Mm-hmm. It allows you to just have a plan and work the plan.
Absolutely.
And then when you bring people into the plan, you say, here's the checklist.
Yeah.
I want you to do X items.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we've done that for our Lifeway Girls conferences here, is that like last year after they were over, we did exactly what you said. We evaluated things, realized that some things needed to happen sooner, some things we could have waited later on. And it's given us a really good planning process for this year. And so whatever that looks like for you, I hope that you will take the time to evaluate, to ask questions, to plan ahead, and just to learn and grow, maybe in an area that you're uncomfortable. Or for those of you who just are still listening at this point and love this idea of organization and delegation, I hope that has been an encouragement to you. But wherever you are, know that these things are important for us to do effective ministry. And so I hope that you have got some takeaways from what we've talked about today. Well, this has been another episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast, and we will see you next time.
See ya.